For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Voice for a little bit. So I mentioned that about a year or so ago, we had a young lady at our Rosh Hashanah table, a college age, graduate level, I don't remember exactly what, something like that, and relatively new to, I have more here, relatively new to observant Judaism. So at the end of benching, she had noted that the Yalav Yovel that we add for Rosh Hashanah, we define the day as Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. So I think it's the day of remembrance. So she asked me, she said, why is Rosh Hashanah called the day of remembrance? Why? What about Rosh Hashanah as remembrance? It's the new year. Oh, what a teaching moment. So I grabbed my machzor. I was so excited. Somebody actually asked this question. I take out the machzor and I show her in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the three sections. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And one of the sections is about Zichronos, about remembrance. And I read through with her how it's on this day that Hashem recalls everything, every thought, every word, every conversation that you ever had. It's all played back before Hashem. You like watch your all of those things happen. The entire nation's fate is decided because of that remembrance. Who will live and who will die? Who by fire? Who by sword? Who by water, the whole thing. This is all being remembered, recalled, it's all happening today. It's why it's called the Day of Remembrance. She says, whoa, that's heavy. I said, yeah, that is heavy. It's a heavy day. She says, and you just sort of throw that into benching at the end of a festive meal?
Great.
That's
a good observation.
Right? That's the tension that we've been discussing. That's literally it. That on the one hand, it's a yontif. On the one hand, it's a chag. And on the other hand, it's the Yom HaZikaron. It's the day that everything is recalled. Just today, literally, I got a message from my wife, a voicemail. So I see as I'm picking it up on the phone, it's a long one. It's like 2.5 minutes. Very strange. I never get a 2.5 minute message from my wife. We barely talk for 2.5 minutes, so I never get a 2.5 message on the phone. So I start to listen, and after the first 2 seconds, it's clear that she never intended to call me. It was a mistake. One of the kids, or one of, you know, in the pocketbook, you know, it hit the call, whatever, and ended up calling and picking up. And so what am I hearing? I'm hearing she's in the car, and she's talking with my kids. And the conversation is recorded. And I'm listening to the conversation, and it is extremely disconcerting. It is very jarring.
The content, or just
the kind of chit chat? It was nothing, but the concept.
Listening
every word is recorded. I am now listening to the chit chat, to the nothingness, to what was said. Was it meaningful? Was it significant? Was it true? Was it hurtful? Was it pleasant? Just to hear, it's frightening. It's very frightening. I immediately deleted it, didn't want to listen to it. I listened for like, you know, 10 seconds. When you figure out what it is, that's a very frightening concept. The Yom HaZikaron. You stand, and it's all there. Very, very disconcerting. So I said to the boys, I said, there's a... the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah records a question as to why we don't sing Shira. We learned about this. The Sfana Rebbe brought that. Why don't we sing Shira? Who asks that question in the Gemara? Who asks that question? Where did that question come from? So Yo-Yo got it right. Yo-Yo says, Rabbi Yavohu. So I said, very good, but Rabbi Yavohu is not asking the question himself. He's quoting someone else. So the Rabbi Yavohu is quoting the Malachi Hasharis. The angels in heaven ask the Ribbono Shel Olam himself a question. They ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Mipnei ma lo amru shira lefanav?" Why don't they sing Shira? Why aren't they singing? It's a Malachim's Kasha. And who answers them? The Ribbono Shel Olam himself answers them. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Mesim Suchim Lefonai, the books of life and the books of death should be opened before me. V'Heim Amru Shira, and they should sing Shira. They should sing. How could they do that? Like we saw the Sfarim recorded. It was an interesting thing. So who's got this kasha? Who's bothered by this? The Malachim.
But if you're singing Shira, maybe you're trying to like praising him, you're going to give more fearful judgment by it.
So that's the kasha. So who doesn't ask this kasha? Klal Yisrael doesn't ask the kasha. We don't ask the question. So I think the explanation of the Gemara is we don't have a problem with this. You know why we don't sing Shira? Because we know it's the Yom HaZikaron. We feel the weight of the Yom HaDin, the day that it's all recalled, that it's all played back, every thought, every conversation, every action, and it's all decided what's going to be. So we don't have a kasha, why don't we sing Shira? You know why we don't sing Shira? Because we're just trying to keep it together. Not to totally fall apart. But the Malachim have a different perspective. What are the Malachim seeing? The Malachim are seeing, as we discussed last week, and this will be our segue back into the Slonimer's approach. What's the purpose of all the creation? It's a deep philosophical question. We're just talking at a simple level. What's the purpose? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create this world? What's he looking at in this Yom HaDin, as we saw last week? There was a purpose. There's a purpose of the world recognizing my presence. Recognizing that I am the Borei Olam. I am the Creator. That's
it makes even more sense, like, in Shira.
Right? Yeah. That's what should be. So the Malachim look down, and what do they see? They see a world filled with people. How many people in the world? The boys told me tonight,
billion.
7 billion. I don't know that. 7 billion?
7 billion.
I mean, what a number. 7 billion. Can't wrap your mind around that number. How many Jews in the world?
14 million.
So, I mean, talking about how big these numbers are. What do you do with 14 million in comparison to
percentage?
To 7 billion?
It's like 0.0 something.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's so small, I've said this over many times, I love it, I'm sure you've heard it from me before, I'll say it again anyway. The Chinese and the Arabs are both about how many?
Well, the Muslims are 300 and plus.
1.2 to 1.4 billion. That's what they're up to, both of them.
Put together.
No, each one is somewhere between 1.2 and 1.4 billion, yeah. Huge numbers between the two of them. I mean, you think about those two populations out of the 7 billion, that's significant. But take anyone, take the Chinese, 1.4 billion people. So when you do it, how do you get that number? You do a census. So a census isn't perfect, so there's always a margin of error when you do a census, which is about 1.8%. What's the margin of error on the Chinese population census? 1.8% of 1.4 billion comes out to be about 25 million. There are more Chinese people missing that we can't find or account for than there are Jews in the world. By a lot. We're 15 million. There are 25 million Chinese people in the world that we just simply say, I don't know, they might be there, they might not be. We don't know. We can't account for them. 25 million! And we're only 15 million, and we're front page news all the time. The Malachim look down, and what do they see? Out of the billions of people in the world, they see the small group of Yidden standing in shul on Rosh Hashanah. And out of these 15 million, how many are standing in shul on Rosh Hashanah?
15%.
Right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Out of that percentage, how many people in the world are saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed? How many? Tiny. The whole purpose of creation. And they look down and they see these little pockets of Yidden and shuls and Bate Midrashim all around the world who are sitting there with fervor Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, and they ask Akasha. They should be dancing in the streets. The whole purpose of creation. Everything we read about last week where Hashem looks at it and he says, well, I'm not judging you on how you did last year, this right, that wrong. I'm judging you. Are you furthering the goal? Are you hindering the goal? Where are you on this? And I look at everything in my business. Small groups of people saying, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Ve'ed. Tiny! Moloch and ask, why? Why aren't they singing Shira? Should be dancing. And the Ribbono Shel Olam himself can give him an answer. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's true, but part of this day in which they say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, part of that is my looking at the world and saying, new, how are we doing? And I have my Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason open before me. They know that. They feel that. And this is the tension. The Yid himself says, I can't sing Shira, but I should, because the Yontif. It's the day that the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at the world and sees who's furthering the purpose. And we're of the small percentage, tiny. If the Jew himself is 0.04%, how many of us are saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Olach, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Ve'ed? So the Malachim have a kasha. They don't understand. Why aren't they singing? We understand the tension. We understand, yeah, it's a Yontif. There's this joy of Kabbalas Malchus Shemaim, of accepting Hashem as our King, of recognizing the schus that we have to do that. And at the same time, as a result of that merit, it's also the day that Hashem is looking at us and seeing how we did. And that's literally, that's Rosh Hashanah. It is such a complex day to deal with, and that's what we've been learning about. This tension literally brought to the forefront. So that's just some thoughts to get us back into what we were talking about last week and to move us forward. So what we're up to, the last thing we're talking about is we just mentioned this idea in which the Slonim Rebbe, let me just state that clearly, in which the Slonim Rebbe shifted the concept of the judgment. That the judgment's not so much about did you do this right or did you do that right, but I'm looking at you like I look at everything in the world, inanimate, animate objects, Jew, non-Jew, the Malachim, everything in the sense of how is this working out, how is this as far as furthering the world, the purpose of all of creation. I'll start with Os Gimel. Yisod Ledvar Misa Barichos Mimichtav Yisod Havod. Yisod Havod was the Slonim Rebbe, was the first Slonim Rebbe. It's also in the contemporary Chassidus Rebbe. So he brings a das al das Moshe. Brings an example, a parable. A Melech Shiyosan Medina Achas. A king establishes a particular area of his kingdom. V'chidei is galim Malchuso Aleihem. In order that his kingship should be expressed, I'm on page 3, Os Gimel, just for those who, if I didn't express that clearly, that his kingship should be expressed, should be revealed over them. V'yasimam tovas gedolos. He wants to have one king, one area. He's just going to be the king over them. He'll bestow kindness and goodness upon them. They should recognize him as the king. V'kava yomechol b'shana bo'yachkor lo'or amasim. And he establishes one day in the year in which he's going to look in based on their actions. V'ametir shal b'nei Medina, and the reality of the people of the town. In kedayu binyan ha'medina asher asa. Did this experiment work? This normally my kingdom runs like normal places. I set up one area where the only purpose of this area is I want you to recognize me as your king, and I'm going to bestow goodness upon you. I'm going to run this experiment, and every day I'm going to judge whether or not the experiment's working, if this is the kind of system that can work or if it's just too much. So all the people who live in that area on that day, they're filled with dread. Pen Yischare Tamelach Mikol Binyan Medina. They're like, maybe the king is going to do away with his project. The whole goal was an experiment, and the king is going to look at it. So that's the greatest fear that you can possibly have, that maybe we're not going to go with this anymore. Anytime you do a trial period in anything, so the people who are hired for that trial period, this experimental project, so they're afraid of the day that the boss comes in to do an assessment. It's not just like a regular boss who's got, you know, Home Depot is going to do an assessment of this certain department. This, the, you know, the The lumber department. The lumber department's not going anywhere in Home Depot. So when the boss comes to do an assessment, the assessment is, should we do this better, worse? Maybe you're not, individually you're not doing a good job. We need to change our pricing system, whatever. But the department's not going anywhere. But if you run, if the Home Depot were to run an experiment, they're going to introduce, I don't know, whatever, something new that they didn't sell before, and then the bosses come in to run an assessment to see whether or not this is working or not, and you run that department, so it's much more of a dread because, you know, at any if we decide we don't want this anymore, then, you know, cut, the whole, we're gone. So, okay, Ma'asu, so what do they do, the people of this town? So he's boninu b'shorish kavona sabin. So they figure, like, well, again, why are we here? What's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish? The yisodo in its foundation. Yes, hakavona helyona shalamelech. What was the purpose of the king? Shebiglal law yisodam. And did that because of it, he established this whole little experimental country. The kibnu aleim shemeat, and they accepted upon themselves that from this point on, yishmru lekayim b'chol inyanam shi'al piakavona hazot lasos nachas ruach lefana. So he established, we are now going to accept upon ourselves to bring you nachas ruach, to bring you pleasure. Uvazeg garmu, there, that will cause the king to keep them. I can't remember if I mentioned it here or not. Anyone who ends up davening at my minyan where I'm speaking, you know, you might hear lots of this stuff regurgitated in different forms over Yosef, and that's my disclaimer, and too bad. One of my boys in yeshiva asked me the following question. Did I mention this? I don't think I did, but it fits perfectly with what he's saying here. One of the boys asked me the following question. He said, Rebbe, I have a question. I don't understand. He said, imagine if you were to give me a test. They were learning Maseches Kedushin. We are learning Maseches Kedushin. Imagine you give me a test on the first Amud that we've been learning for the first month. And you ask me all the things, what the Mishnah says, what are the halachas of the Mishnah, the Rashi, the Tosfos, the Rishonim, everything that we're learning, the Gemara. This is a very sophisticated question. This is from a 10th grader, and he says, and I didn't pay attention in shiur. I have no idea what's going on. Not only did I not pay attention in shiur, but you gave us worksheets. I didn't do them. You gave us time to chazer and to go over it. I didn't do it. You went over it in class. I don't know a thing. And I'm totally at fault. You've given me every opportunity to do it, and I've taken nothing. I get to question number one. What are the three halachas of the Mishnah? I have no idea. So I write the only things that I know. It makes sense. I write, Rabbi Freundlich, you are the greatest Rebbe ever. Question number two. Not sure. Rabbi Freundlich, you are filled with compassion and love and kindness. Number three. Everybody should have a Rebbe like Rabbi Freundlich. Question four. Did I mention that you are the greatest Rebbe ever?
Got to give him some points.
Yeah. He said, Rebbe, what would you give me on the test? So I said, gosh, if I were your Rebbe and you did something like that, do you mean it? He said, yeah, I really meant it. I said, that's very sweet of you. He said, what would you give me on the test? I said, I'd give you a zero. He said, why would you give me a zero? I said, you don't know a thing. That's why I'd give you a zero. So he says, I don't understand. We stand before Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yom HaZikaron. It's the Yom HaDin. We're being judged. What's Hashem looking at it? Did you keep Shabbos the appropriate way? Did you make brachos with the right intention? Did you show up for davening on time? How did you act during davening? How did you treat your spouse? How did you speak with Lashon Hara? How did you... All these questions. Fail. So what do I answer? What am I going to say? I failed? So what do I say on Rosh Hashanah? I don't say anything about, well, I did this okay, I did this not so good, I'll do this better. I don't do any of that. I don't answer any of the questions. What do I say? Ribbono Shel Olam, you are the greatest ever. You are my king. Everybody should recognize you as a king. You are filled with compassion and care and concern and love. You're the best. Why does that work? Why does that work, he asks. Why is this any different than a Rebbe in a school who would fail a student for doing that? Very sophisticated question.
That's a very good question.
Very sophisticated question. The answer, I believe, is this paragraph that we just read. When you're being judged, and you realize, wait a minute, but what's the whole purpose of this whole experiment? Why am I here? I'm here to recognize the king. The expressions through which I would do so would be through Shabbos and Brachos and Davening and Midas Tovos Ben Adam L'Chavero, and those are all the expressions, and I messed those up. Well, what's the only way? Now, I realize I messed them up. Well, what's the only way then to keep this going? The only way to keep it going is to recommit myself to the purpose. So when I give my student a test, what's my goal? Do you know this information or not? That's my goal. We're learning Kiddushin. Do you know it? If you don't, you can butter me up all you want. You still get a zero. Maybe I'll give you a 10 because I like you. But you basically fail. The test the Rebbe Shlomo is giving us is, do you recognize me? Do you or do you not? So when I look down your ledger, it seems like you don't. Because you spoke Lashon Hara. You didn't show up to davening. You had no kavanah when you were there. You didn't learn enough. You didn't speak with the appropriate derech eretz. You didn't keep Shabbos leaves. The list goes on and on and on. Obviously, what's the only conclusion I can draw? You don't recognize me. If you recognize me, you would have lived your life differently. So the fail is because your results seem to indicate you don't recognize my existence. Well, what, how do we take the test on Rosh Hashanah? So we don't go back and say, Shabbat. All we do is we say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yumloch, Yumloch. We do recognize. We do. And that's all, that's passing the test.
So you said, Rabbi, that one of the ways you were explaining Rosh Hashanah was it was like a job evaluation. You were seeing how people performed. And now you're saying, it seems to me, that that we're recommitting.
Correct.
So is it both, or is it...
And that's our response. In other words, Hashem is looking at us and saying, I'm judging you. Did you or did you not further my plan? Well, all of us know, if he would look at us and ask us that question, the answer would be... At best, we kept it neutral. We probably were a hindrance. That's having a negative human reality. That's how we would feel if we were scrutinized by the eyes of God. You know, I don't want to be scrutinized by the eyes of God. So what do I do when I'm being judged if I further, if I don't? I commit to furthering. That's what I do. It's not a day of tshuva. It's not a day...
Override everything you endure.
Correct. A little bit it is. We don't spend any time in Rosh Hashanah doing tshuva. We don't spend any time saying, I did this wrong, I'll do it better. We don't do that. All we do is... Correct. We have a Seder Tshuva from the end of Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, in which we get down to the nitty-gritty. But the first 2 days, committing. It's all we do. All we do is we commit to further the purpose. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, we want that.
So, in business terms, it's like mission statements. In other words, we get back to why.
That's right.
What we're doing.
Yes, you want to put them in those. That's exactly right. Okay. Right. In other words, and in that statement, we don't say like, production line is too slow. That's going to be the next 7 days. Next 8 days, we'll be focused on that. This is just what's that mission statement. Because when the Rebbe wants to look and see how we're doing, all we want to be doing is making sure we are fully committed to the plan. Because if we're not committed to being on the team, you know, it's literally, I guess, just I haven't brought in one sports mashal, I don't think, in all of our time together. But you have a team that had a terrible season. Now, they were 3-13, a football team, a terrible season. So they bring in a new coach. And the new coach establishes and says, okay, this is what we're doing. We're totally overhauling the system, and we're implementing an entirely new system, a new system on offense, a new system on defense. What we had was terrible. You guys were awful at it. So now he's going to look at all the players, and how is he going to assess them? So I know that you failed in what you did, but I want to know, are you buying into my system or not? If you buy into my system, I'll keep you. See if you can make it in a system. But if you resist the system, so I'm the new coach, I don't want you. You don't buy into my plan. So it's as if we're like that idea that the Slenderman spoke about, of like we're reliving the creation. It's like this newness of the creation. So who's in? Did you buy into the system or are you not buying into the system? And so all we do is we say, like, I know I was terrible last year. I know I didn't perform as well as I could have, but I'm in. I'm ready. Give me my new assignment because I'm going to take it. And that's the day. That's literally the day. And that's the joy of the day. That's the pacha, the fear of the day. And it's all wrapped up into one. Okay, let's move to, since we're running out of time, and Rosh Hashanah is in a couple days. Let's go to Os Dalet on the left-hand side of the page, on page 3. Mikivan Shiyom Zeh Chatshus Habriya. Since the day is a recreation of the creation of the world. Yesh bo od prat ikari. One more important point that we have to focus on. Sheheyos shekol habriyah hi bishvil Yisrael. This is a little bit we spoke about a little bit earlier. The whole purpose of creation is for the Jewish people to come and recognize. We have a specific role on this team. We're the quarterback, going back to that previous mashal. So if a quarterback doesn't buy in, he doesn't stand a chance. Uchomer Chazal, as the sages say, Lo nivra ha'olam el b'shvil Yisrael, the world was created only because of the Jewish people, Shnekru Ureishis, who are also called Ureishis, like the beginning of b'shvil HaTorah, Shnekru Ureishis. V'mobaris yomam v'layla chuko shmaivars lo samti harei, that's the pasuk, harei b'yom itzchadshu sabriya, mitzchadesh es b'choshon akrisu sabris sheben kutshavrichu v'yisrael v'hios am hanivchor al yedei HaTorah HaKadoshah. So one other important thing happened. Since this is the day of creation, so it's not just that we're declaring Hashem as king, but we're also reestablishing the bris, the covenant, the pact between the Jewish people and Hashem through the Torah. So that it's a day more than just us saying we want to be on the team, but it's a day of recreating that bris, the concept of the covenant. The Chemerumot, the pasuk which we just read, this Shabbos, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem, you are all standing today before Hashem, Lo'avrocha B'vris Hashem Elokecha, to pass over, to pass through, to accept the concept of the bris. The Svar Makdoshim bring that this is a remez, this is a hint to the Yom HaDedina, the Day of Judgment, Rosh Hashanah, Temni Tavim, Kulchem, Lefnei Hashem, Lekach HaLadin. As opposed to this, you're standing before Hashem, just like we stand before Hashem in Din. Hayom HaZehu, Yom La'avrachal, B'Bris. This is the day in which we pass through this concept of the Bris, Yom Kristos, Bris Mechadash, a new one. Shezeh Kiyum HaBriya, and this is the essence of the day, to crown Hashem as the king anew, and that happens through the concept of the Torah. So that is the further point that we have to establish, that what we're doing is reestablishing upon ourselves, accepting upon ourselves that concept of the bris, the concept of the covenant between ourselves and Hashem as the Am HaNivchar, as the chosen people. As I mentioned before, like, there are so few people in the world who are doing this, and that is our role to be able to do so. Skipping to the top of page 4. Chizah b'tzvarim kosher, as the Svarim writes, Shetachlis HaTorah v'hamitzvos, what's the purpose of Torah and mitzvos? They are different, literally Eitzo would be like a piece of advice. There are different methods through which the Jew can achieve Bo Tidbak, to Hashem you should cleave. How does a person cleave to Hashem? How does a person come close? How does a person feel like he's connected to Hashem? Through the methods, the mechanisms of Torah and mitzvot. And he quotes the Ramban writes, and the pasuk HaDvekus v'Hashem, the Tochen, what would it mean to cleave to Hashem? What does a person look like who is attached to Hashem? That he thinks about, remembers Hashem and his love, and loves him always. His mind never wanders from the concept that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, that I'm connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not when he's walking, not when he's sleeping, not when he's doing anything. And she devarav in bnei adam b'fevu v'lshono v'libo einenu imahem avahu lefnei Hashem. Even when he's talking with people, he's not there. He's connected. That is a high level the Ramban describes. That's what it means to be bo tidbak tashem elokecha. Brings from the Rambam also a couple lines later. Ketzari ahava haruuya. What does it mean to love Hashem? The Rambam writes, Sheyeves Hashem ahava gedoli yisera, as a strong love, and shedei nafsho kshuro biavas Hashem, that his soul is connected through that love of Hashem. V'nimsa shuga batamid. He is literally like meshuga. He is crazy for Hashem always. Ki'ilu choyle choyli ahava she'in daito ponoi me'avas oisa isha. He's like crazy passionate about a woman, that's all he can think about. The Rambam uses that imagery that a Jew is so connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he can't think about anything else, only about his connection to Hashem. who shoygeh b'tamid bein v'shivto bein v'kumo, when he's sitting, when he's talking, when he's awake, bein kishu oichel v'shosa, eating, drinking, yosim yizet yavas Hashem b'leiv, oyhavav shoygeh b'tamid, is constantly committed to that. Hu sheshlomo omar ki choylas ahav, I'm like sick with love, I'm lovesick. And kol shir hashirim is the mashal hulinyan, and the entire shir hashirim is that concept. There's no other way to express the passion, the connection, the literal idea of being what's what I'm looking for?
Infatuated,
and there's another word also, but yes.
Full of love.
Whatever. Obsessed, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. Obsessed. There's Shlomo Melech couldn't come up with another way other than the obsession that a man can have for a woman to describe the obsession that a Jew can have for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the concept. And that's the idea that we got to at Har Sinai, where our souls literally left our bodies. And as he writes, that's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, so not only are we going through all these complexities that we've been discussing, but we're also reestablishing the bris that we are that nation that has been chosen to carry out Hashem's name in this world. Okay, let's go to Osei, finish up some tie in some of our ideas. So all these ideas will explain how Rosh Hashanah can be considered a chag, how it can be considered a yontif. The lo yishim bo levenim, we wear our fancy white clothes, umivarachim shechiyanu alayom hazeh, and we can make a bracha shechiyanu v'kimanu. Isn't it a day of pachad, of fear, of awe? And yet it's a day of joy, it's a day of a yontif. Hakol mitam shehu yom hischadshus habris bein kudsho bruchu v'yisrael. Because it's the day in which the bris, the covenant, is reestablished. How could you not be overjoyed to say, I am part of the people that are zeicha, that are privileged to be in this few, small in number. I am privileged to be part of this people that's reestablishing this bris. Or does it cost you a couple of hours in shul? 4 hours, 5 hours. I mean, what does it cost? You were one of the few people in the entire world that the world was created for. And it's not going to be a chag. It's not going to be a day of shechianu v'kimanu v'igianu lazman hazeh, that I am of this nation. I am of, within this nation, been blessed, have been brought up, or came to on my own this life of Torah and mitzvot, to say, Hashem melech, Hashem melech. You, how could you not make a bracha? How do you not get dressed up in your finest? Move on, Mashomer Nehemiah, and then the pasuk that we quoted from Nehemiah Hanavi, when the Jews came back and they read the Sefer Torah and they learned about the mitzvahs, and they started crying and they said, we haven't been observing it. And he said, not today, no tears today. Today is Chesvas Hashem Uzchem. Today is a day of strength. Today is a day of joy before Hashem. He said, "Ki kadoshu al Hashem Elokeinu." It's a day of kedusha, of holiness. Al tisav lu v'al tivku. No mourning, no crying. L'chu ichlu mashmana v'shosu mantakim. Go eat your fancy foods and drink your delicious drinks. Ki atfisa shel ha'am v'rosh Hashanah ha'isashuhu yom din al ha'aver. They understood it was as if they were being judged on what had happened in the past. U'v'chiyosam ha'isa b'chinas avelos. And therefore their cries were cries of mourning, like someone who cries over somebody who has died. She'ein lo tikun, you can't do anything anymore, and you cry over the loss, over the vacuum that's left by their loss. Okay, no, and he said, no. Yeah, there's a place for that in life, but not today. Achlu mashmanim, go eat and drink. Haynu es hashmanav amitakim sheish b'yom hakadosh hazeh, the festive meal. Ki kadosh hayom la'adneinim, because it's holy for our Creator. Shu yom krisas bris mechadosh, it's a new covenant. Uvo kol Yehudi mamlech olav mechadash es hakadosh baruch hu. Every Jew anew establishes the malchus of Hashem. Therefore, kiblu olechem es habris mikan ulehaba. It's not a day of judgment just on what you did in the past. It's a day to recommit to the future, and that commitment. That commitment that we make is a joyous day to be able to do so. He quotes in Al Chassidus Pshat from the Toldos Yaakov that Chazal say Gimel Svarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah. There's three books opened on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says Tzadikim Gemurim Niftachim Venechtamim Le'altar L'Chayim. The fully righteous are written and sealed immediately L'Chayim for life. So he darshens this. So the common understanding of that is that there are three books: one called the Sifrei Tzadikim, one called the Sifrei Beinonim, and one called the Sifrei Rishayim, with the wicked, the middle people, and the Tzadikim. And you're inscribed in one of them. So he darshens as follows: Haynu sheposchem shlosha svarim chadashim. There are three new books opened. Shekol echad roshem es atzmo l'shana hachadasha be'eza sherotze. And it's up to each Jew. You put yourself in which book you want to be. It's not that these are the three books and Hashem places you. You're a tzaddik. You're a beinuni. You're a rasha. He asks you, Ploni, Rebid, what book do you want to be in this year? You want to be in the book of the righteous? You want to be in the book of the wicked? You want to be in the book of those who waver? In Mikabel Alav Lashana HaKadosha, today, what's your commitment moving forward? If you're ready to commit, Nimne Bein HaTzadikim, I'll put you into the book of Tzadikim. You tell me what you want. You'll fulfill your purpose and mission in this world from right on out. You'll go right into the book of Tzadikim. So you're written right in. You make that commitment, you're in. All right, you're in. Those who are not ready to commit today, moving forward, those who are iffy, who waver, we'll put them in the book of the Beinunim. Those who say, I don't want it at all, put them in the book of the Rishayim. The Melein, they have no task, they have no purpose, because they're not ready to commit. So if you're not ready to commit, so I cut you. So I have a book for those who want to be cut. You decide if you want to be in or not. You tell me, because it's all up to you, do you want to be part of the program or not? And this explains beautifully. She'ain bechlal stira. There's no contradiction. Mehad Rosh Hashanah hu yom chag v'lov shem levenim. How on the one hand, it's a joyous day in which we wear our finest. V'had de'ein omrim bo shira, and that which we can't sing song. Why not? We said, which way is it? If it's a day of joy, let me sing shira. If it's not a day of shira, then don't make me wear my finest. Nishum she'sifrei chayim v'sifrei meisim munachim, because these books are open. Even though on the one hand it's a day of the Hischatshus Habris, it's a day of the renewal of the covenant and crowning Hashem as our King Mechadosh anew, at the end of the day, this is the day that we're talking about. This is the complexity of the day in which the book of death is opened before him, and we have the option to say we don't want in, and you're written off. It's a complex day. We'll leave it with this. From here, he's going to go on to Yom Kippur. So we'll do this piece, you know, next week as we get ready for Yom Kippur. I'll choose a different piece, but this is his thoughts. Beautiful, beautiful thoughts in understanding what it is that we're getting ourselves ready for and how we're supposed to approach this very, very complex day. I wish you all exiva v'chasim ateva. We should be matzliach as we are oimei b'din. Not hatzlacha, that we should be judged favorably from what we did last year, that we should be judged favorably in our commitment this year, moving forward to take our role amongst the few, the proud, and the few, to bring Hashem's presence to the world. Looking for a few good men. A good Gebench to hear, everyone.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.